ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 हरे कृष्णा। We'll begin the 15th chapter. Up to 14th chapter, we have seen the influence of material modes and how to come out of the influence of material modes. And towards the end of 14th chapter, Krishna spoke that by performing pure bhakti, one can transcend the material modes. In the 13th chapter, Krishna described the qualities of Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Purusha and Prakriti, and Dhyanam and Gnaya. Basically, these six topics are centered around three things: the soul, the super soul, and material nature. So he analyzed the qualities of soul, super soul, and material nature in the 13th chapter. And he analyzed the qualities of Sattvaguna, Rajaguna, Tamoguna in the 14th chapter. Now, what is he doing in the 15th chapter? We'll see. Here, in the 14th chapter, Krishna concluded saying that Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, by performing Avyabhicharini Bhakti, one can attain the level of Brahman. Okay. We discussed it elaborately in the previous session, in what way we should look at that verse. So Krishna also said that by performing Bhakti, one can transcend the material modes and attain the status of Brahman. And he also said that he is the supreme shelter of that Brahman. Brahmano hi pratishtha aham. Okay. And how does one attain the level of Brahman or attain the Supreme Lord Krishna, whose effulgence is Brahman? By Avyabhicharini Bhakti. Okay. Attaining devotion. But to attain the devotion or attachment to Krishna, we should also have detachment from this material world. I mentioned this in the previous session. Simultaneously developing attachment to the Lord and detachment from the material world is needed. So Krishna emphasizes on developing detachment in this beautiful chapter, 15th chapter. How there is a lot of attachment to this material world. How to cut that attachment to this material world? How to be detached from this material world? Krishna speaks in the 15th chapter. And in this, Krishna compares the world to a banyan tree. Okay. So he needs the acts of detachment to cut this material world. Let's see. This is also called Purushottama Yoga. After knowing the importance of Bhakti Yoga, one may question, what about the Vedas? We are saying that essence of all spiritual practice is Bhakti Yoga. So what about the Vedas? So this chapter clearly describes that the purpose of Vedic study is just to realize Krishna. Vedaischa sarvair ahameva vedyo vedantakrit veda videva chaham. By studying all the Vedas, I am to be known, Krishna says. I am the compiler of Vedanta. I am the knower of Vedanta. By studying all the Vedas, I am to be known. Krishna reveals that in this chapter. So these are the prominent topics in this chapter. Number one, how to develop detachment from this material world. Number two, how Krishna is the purpose of all Vedic study. So begin. Let's begin from the first sloka. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Urdhvamoolam adhashyakham.
Urdhvamoolam adhashyakham.
Ashvattham prahuravyayam.
Ashvattham prahuravyayam.
Chandamsi yasya parnani.
Chandamsi yasya parnani.
Yastam vedasa vedavit.
Yastam vedasa vedavit.
Urdhvamoolam adhashyakham. Shakha means branches. Moolam is the root. Root is generally below, and shakha branches are coming up. But there is a specific banyan tree whose moolam is urdhva. There is a root that is upwards, and adha shakam, branches go downwards. And ashvattham prahur avyayam, this is avyaya tree. There is an inexhaustible, or there is an imperishable tree. which has roots upward and branches downwards. Okay. Now, Chandamsi Yasya Paranani, the Paranas are the leaves of the tree, are Chanda, the Vedas. And Yastam Veda Savedavit, one who knows this tree, is the true knower of the Vedas. As I said, in this chapter, Krishna describes a little bit about Vedas and about detachment from this material world. So, Krishna is describing the material world, material realm, by comparing it with an Ashwatha tree, a banyan tree, which is upside down. Okay. So, this is the reflection tree. A tree with its branches down and root upward, you can see only on the bank of a water reservoir. You go to our Yamuna, sit in front of Yamuna, just it's behind you. We are in Madan Mohan temple and Yamuna is behind us. Okay. So, on the bank of Yamuna, if you see, on the other side, Brahmanda Ghat side, so you have so many trees. The reflection of the trees can be seen in Yamuna. So there, if you see the reflection, the roots are upward and the branches are downwards. So similarly, material world is compared to a upside down banyan tree. So it is just a reflection of the spiritual world. Okay. So the tree of this material world is only a reflection of the real tree of the spiritual world. And why is this reflection tree existing? Desire. Just as the tree's reflection is situated on water, the reflection of the spiritual world is situated on desire. The tree, reflection tree, exists only on water. Okay. If water is not there, now you see the tree on this land in front of this temple. You can't see its reflection. Only if you stand on the bank of Yamuna, you will see the reflection. Okay. So, when there is material desire, material world exists. When there is no material desire, material world does not exist. And this is individual. If you have material desires, material world exists for you. If you don't have material desire, there is no material world for you. Although you are living in the material world, still it's as good as living in the spiritual world for you, because you don't have material desires. Okay. So one can be free from entanglement within material world by cultivating a transcendental desire to enter into spiritual world. Okay. So because of material desire, there is material world for you. You are entangled in the material world. But you can be freed from entanglement within this material world by cultivating transcendental knowledge, transcendental desire to enter the spiritual world. Convert that material desire into spiritual desire. Then you can go to spiritual world. And what about this Chandamsi Yasya Paranani? The Paranas, the leaves are like Vedas. So one who is attracted to the rituals of Vedas is just attracted by the beautiful green leaves of the banyan tree and does not know the purpose of the Vedas. Knowing the Vedas means actually cutting off one's attachment to the tree of material world. Sometimes within the Vedas, there are so many rituals for fruitive activities and to attain material enjoyment. If you are attached to them, then you are not understanding the true purpose of the Vedas. Ultimately, the Vedas are speaking about Krishna Bhakti. Whatever intermediate rituals are there, certain karmakandic rituals that are there, they are meant to gradually elevate your consciousness and bring you to the level of complete surrender to Krishna. Okay. So you are not ready, okay, to give up some very materialistic activities. Vedic scriptures tell you how to do them in a regulated manner. So by slowly putting a regulation on your sense gratificatory activities, you will come to a stage where I should just stop the sense gratificatory activities only. Some people are addicted to meat eating, for example. Vedic scriptures put a regulation on those meat eaters that you eat meat under these conditions. Once in Amavasya day, once in Purnami day, there are certain protocols. I am not fully aware of all of them. Okay, so there is some regulation imposed, not unrestrictedly, whenever you want, how much ever you want. But there is some regulation put. Then an intelligent person will question, why this kind of restriction is there? And then the answer is, actually you are not supposed to eat only. But we are allowing you this much because you are too attached. If you drastically ask you to completely stop, you may not stop. That's why we are regulating you. So sense enjoyment is regulated, but ultimately it has to be eliminated. Okay? Then you come to the level of pure bhakti. Fine? The purpose of the Vedas is to cut attachment to the material world. But Vedas regulate that attachment. So this is the purpose of Vedas. Fine? The basic principle of devotional service is detachment from material activities and attachment to transcendental service to the Lord. That's what we discussed. This chapter is also speaking that. Second shloka. Now you understood the context of this shloka and what this shloka is trying to say. The material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. And we have to develop detachment from the material world. If you are attached to the Vedic rituals that increase our attachment to material world, we have not really understood the purpose of Vedas. A real understanding of purpose of Vedas reflects in our detachment from material enjoyment. Second shloka. Adhaschortham prashrutas tasya shakham gunapravruddha vishayapravala adhascha moolanyanusantatani karmanubandhini manushyaloke. So in this shloka Krishna says adhascha urdham prashritaah tasya shakha. Shakha means branches. Okay. Adhaha means going downwards. Urdhva means upwards. Prashritaah tasya shakha is the branches of this tree extend everywhere. No, ultimately branches are pointing downwards, but within this downward going branches, some are going upwards, some are going downward. Guna pravruddhaah vishayah pravalaah. And how is the entire tree nourished? First part is about the branches. First line is about the branches. The branches are spreading up and down. And what do these branches represent? The planets and different species. The branches of this tree represent different planets and different species. Okay. Next, guna pravruddha vishaya pravalaha. So the tree is nourished. Pravruddha means growth, nourishment. The tree is nourished by vishaya pravalaha. So these three material modes. The watering process happens by the three material modes. Fine. The branches are spreading up and down. On the lower parts of the branches, there are planets with living entities like human beings, animals, asses, cows, dogs, cats, etc. And the upper planets, upper parts of this tree, the higher forms of living entities are there. Demigods, Gandharvas, Brahmaloka, etc. Now, when I said that the branches, when Krishna says that the branches are representing planets and species also, what does it mean? Different categories of living entities live in different planets. Different planets are made for the inhabitation of different kinds of living entities. And how are the living entities categorized? According to the evolution of their consciousness. The consciousness of devatas is more elevated than human beings. And the consciousness of animals and birds, they are more degraded, very low compared to human beings. So, according to the evolution of consciousness, different bodies are formed and different planets are also formed. Human beings don't stay in heavenly planets or Brahmaloka. Human beings like us. They look like human beings, but they are called devatas. Gandharvas, Siddhas, Charanas, Yakshas, Kimpurushas, all these people. So for them, higher planets are there. For animals and human beings, their lower planets are there. Okay. So in this way, different planets exist because of different types of living entities. And all these branches are representing the different planets. And this whole tree is nourished by material modes. That is the watering process. Then the third line of this shloka, adhascha moolani anushantatani. There are twigs also in this tree. Its twigs are the sense objects. That is vishaya pravalaha. Okay, guna pravruddha vishaya pravalaha. Guna pravruddha is that tree is being nourished by three material modes. Vishaya Pravala is the twigs are sense objects. The tips of the branches are senses attached to the sense objects. Next comes this line. Adhascha karmani anusantatani karmanu bandhini manushyaloke. It's the secondary roots extend everywhere. So for a banyan tree, there are main roots and there are secondary roots also. They are just hanging. Okay. So the secondary roots extend everywhere, bind the human society to fruitive activities. Karmanu bandhini manushyaloke. Adhascha mulani anusantatani karmanu bandhini manushyaloke. This is the smallest chapter, 15th chapter. It has only 20 verses. And oftentimes the slokas of this chapter are memorized by many devotees, many lovers of Bhagavad Gita. Probably because this is the smallest chapter. And very importantly, if you observe, the purports of Prabhupada in this chapter summarize the basic understanding of entire philosophy. The basics of our philosophy is given in these purports. What are the living entities? What is the Supreme Lord? What is this material world? How to come out of this material world? What is entangling you and binding you into this world? So like that, so many topics are covered very comprehensively. We discussed all of them in several contexts, but all of them are put together in one place. Very beautiful purports. So Prabhupada writes in this second purport, you see this. Sometimes we find that a tract of land is barren for want of sufficient water. And sometimes a tract of land is very green. Similarly, where particular modes of material nature are proportionately greater in quantity, the different species of life are manifested accordingly. The subsidiary roots are the secondary roots. They are basically attachments and aversions, which are byproducts of different varieties of suffering and sense enjoyment. The tendencies towards piety and impiety develop from the secondary roots. So that's why karmanu bandhini manushyaloke. You understood? So should we summarize the whole tree once? This tree is an upside down banyan tree. The roots are upwards and the branches are downwards. That's a general simple description of the tree. And Chandamsiyasya Parnani, the leaves of this tree are the Vedas. Leaves are the Vedas. Next, branches are spreading everywhere. They are representing the planets and different species. Then twigs are there, and the tree is nourished by material modes, and the twigs are sense objects. And the tips of the branches are senses attached to sense objects. Okay. And the secondary roots, they are cause of karma bandha. They are representing attachments and aversions, or pious activities and impious activities. And something which is not mentioned in the shloka, the fruits of this tree are dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Dharma is religiosity, artha is money, economic development, kama is sense gratification, moksha is liberation. So these are the four purusharthas which are the fruits of this tree. And this tree is eternal, avyayam. And in avyayam, in the sense that it is continuously existing. Material world, how can it be eternal? Yeah, it is eternal. Although it is manifested and destroyed at some point of time, still it will again manifest. So continuously manifestation is happening. There's on and off, on and off. It's not continuously on, but on and off is happening. Once it is off, it is not permanently off. Again, you will switch on again. So in the morning you switch on the light, and in the night before sleeping you switch off the light, and after getting up from sleep you again switch on the light. So the light is not continuously existing, continuously giving light, but it is intermittently on and off. So because this is a continuous process, the tree is also called eternal. So but it does not disappear except through the discriminating knowledge given in Gita. But if you perform bhakti yoga, this tree will permanently disappear for you. It doesn't exist for you. Means if you don't have material desire, which is that water. So material desire is compared to water, right? So in the water of material desire, the spiritual world tree is reflected in the material world tree. Reflected as the material world tree. But if you don't have desire, it doesn't exist for you. If you are on the land, not on the bank of water, water reservoir, then you don't have to. This tree. So third sloka and fourth sloka. How to cut this tree? नरूपमस्येह तथोपलभ्यते
नरूपमस्येह तथोपलभ्यते
नान्तोन चादिर्न च संप्रतिष्ठा
नान्तोन चादिर्न च संप्रतिष्ठा
अश्वत्थमेनं सुविरूढमूलम्
अश्वत्थमेनं सुविरूढमूलम्
असंगशस्त्रेण दृढेन चित्वा
असंगशस्त्रेण दृढेन चित्वा
ततः पदं तत् परिमार्गितव्यम्
तत्पदं तत्परिमार्गितव्यम्
यस्मिन् गतान निवर्तन्ति भूयः
यस्मिन् गतान निवर्तन्ति भूयः
तमेव चाद्यं पुरुषं प्रपद्ये
तमेव चाद्यं पुरुषं प्रपद्ये
यतः प्रवृत्तिः प्रसृता पुराणी
यतः प्रवृत्तिः प्रसृता पुराणी.
So in these two shlokas, Krishna describes the tree which can be cut with attachment. This material world is compared to a banyan tree. Ultimately, we have to get out of this material world, and that is possible by the axe of detachment. Sometimes the tree is cut with an axe. So, that axe is the detachment. Na rupamasyeha tathopalabhyate na anto na cha adir na cha sampratishtha. The real form of this tree, the real rupam, Narupamasyeha. The real form of this tree, its beginning, its end, its foundation, cannot be perceived in this world. Narupamasya iha tathopalabhyati. Na anto, na cha adir, na cha sampratishta. You cannot understand where is it beginning, where is it ending, where is what is its foundation. You cannot understand. Means you are comparing this material world with a tree. Krishna is nicely comparing. But when you are in the material world, living and undergoing all these experiences of attachment and aversion and material modes, this and that, you cannot actually understand where is it starting, where is it ending, where am I, right? Confusion. Krishna is putting everything in perspective here. So, but one must cut this strongly rooted tree. Ashvatthamelam suvirudhamulam asanga shastrena drudhena chitva. You can cut this tree with the shastra of asanga. Asangam is detachment. Shastra is weapon. You have the weapon of attachment. You have the axe of detachment with which you cut this tree. And for that you need drudhena chitva. Very strong determination you need. Drudhena chitva. Tataha padam tat parimargitavyam. After cutting the tree, what do you do? Where do you go? What's your next step? Tataha padam tat parimargitavyam. You start searching for a place which is a permanent and eternal residence for you. Once you go there, you should not come back to this place, temporary place. Fine. So, yasmin gata na nivartanti bhuyaha. Yasmin gata means if you go there, having gone there, na nivartanti bhuyaha, you will not come back to this world again. So, cut this material world with detachment weapon and go to the spiritual world from where you don't have to come back. Okay. तमेव चाद्यं पुरुषः प्रपद्ये पुरुषं प्रपद्ये यतः प्रवृत्तिः प्रसृता पुराणी. एंड हाउ इज इट पॉसिबल, हाउ कैन यू गो देर? इट्स क्लियरली सेड यू कट दिस ट्री एंड देन यू गो देर, बट हाउ टू गो देर? तमेव च आद्यं पुरुषं प्रपद्ये, बाय द प्रोसेस ऑफ सरेंडरिंग अन टू द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड यू कैन गो देर. ओके, सो यू कैन नॉट गो टू द स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड विदाउट सरेंडरिंग टू द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड कृष्ण. Adhyam Purusham, his Adi Purusha, original personality of Godhead. Prapadya, take his shelter. Yataha Pravrittihi Prashrita Purani. By such surrendering process, you can go back there. And another line is mentioned. Yataha Pravrittihi Prashrita Purani. From him only everything is emanating. This material world also manifested from him only. You go to that Adi Purusha who is the source of everything. And if you go there, you don't have to come back. So that's mentioned. So, got the flow? First two shlokas are describing the tree. Third shloka is emphasizing on cutting the tree with the weapon of detachment. And fourth shloka is saying how to cut the tree, which is by surrendering to the Supreme Lord. Now, how to surrender? Okay. Now, it is said that you cut the tree with the detachment. and go to spiritual world. How to go there? By taking shelter of Krishna, by surrendering to Krishna. How to surrender? He describes in the 5th shloka. Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha.
Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha.
Adhyatma nitya vinivritta kamaha.
Adhyatma nitya vinivritta kamaha.
Dvandvair vimuktaha sukha dukkha samyer.
Dvandvair vimuktaha sukha dukkha samyer.
Gacchantya mudhaha padamavyayam tat.
Gacchantya mudhaha padamavyayam tat.
The surrendering process is described in this shloka. How to surrender to Krishna? How to surrender to that Adi Purusha, Tameva Chadyam Purusham Prapadye. It's mentioned in the previous shloka. How to do it? 5th shloka says, Nirmana Moha. No mana, no moha. One should be freed from false prestige, mana, and moha is illusion. Jita Sangha Dosha. One should conquer Sangha Dosha, the faults of bad association. Three things. Number one, no mana, no false prestige. Number two, no moha, no illusion. Number three, jita sangha dosha, freedom from bad association. Fourth point, adhyatma nitya. You understand the eternal. What is eternal? You should have a proper understanding of it. Vinivritta kamaha. You should be done with material lust. All kamas, all material desires are completely vanquished for the person. Dvandvair vimuktaha. Sixth point. Dvandvair vimukta means be detached from all dualities. Sukha dukkha samneir. The dualities example is given, which are happiness and distress, etc., etc. Dvandvair vimuktaha sukha dukkha samneir. So if you follow the 6 points of surrender, then gacchanti amudhaha padamavyayam tat, you can easily attain the spiritual planet, attain the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Padam avyayam, that imperishable abode or position, you can easily attain. If you develop these qualities, no mana, no moha, no sangha dosha, then be fixed in eternity. Vinivritta kamaha, give up material desires, give up all dualities, and just surrender to Krishna. So, this is also a very nice shloka. This faulty association binds one to the material world. One should give it up. So each of them can be described elaborately. Now Krishna will describe. Krishna has described the material world. He also said that you should be detached from the material world. And he also described you should go to the spiritual world. And how to go? You should have this, you should follow this process of Nirmana Moha Jita Sangha Dosha. So there is a description of material world, an emphasis on detachment from material world, and an emphasis on going to the spiritual world. And also description of the process of going to the spiritual world. And now Krishna will say, what are the qualities of spiritual world? How does the spiritual world look like? What are its symptoms and characteristics? Krishna says, Natad bhasayate suryo,
Natad bhasayate suryo,
Nashashanko napavakaha,
Nashashanko napavakaha,
Yadgatva nanivartante,
Yadgatva nanivartante,
Taddhama paramam mama,
Taddhama paramam mama.
Natad bhasayate suryo. The spiritual world does not have sun to illuminate it. Oh, there is darkness there? No, they are self-illuminating planets. You don't need a sun to illuminate the planet. Okay. Natad bhasayate suryu. The spiritual planet of Krishna is not illuminated by sun. Na shashanko. No moon also. Na pavakaha. No fire also. No electricity also proposes. So, yad gatva nani vartante. If you go there, go to Krishna's spiritual planet, you don't have to come here. Tad dhama paramam mama. Krishna says, it is my dham. It is my abode. Very clear. Krishna's abode, Krishna's planet, Krishna Loka or Goloka Vrindavan, that is the supreme planet. That's very clearly mentioned here. Okay. And what are the qualities of that supreme planet? It is not illuminated by sun or moon or fire. And it is a permanent and eternal residence for all of you. Once you go there, you don't have to come back here. So these are the qualities of spiritual world. Prabhupada writes in the purport that one should be captivated by this information. You should get excited. Wow! Spiritual world is like this. There is light without sun and moon. We can't imagine a world without sun and moon. There is no sun, there is no moon. Sometimes there are some places where sun doesn't come, sunshine doesn't come. For several months in a year, the places are not illuminated with sufficient sunshine. Sometimes such people even can go into depression also, without sun. And sometimes you have so much of sun, you keep sweating. So like that, we can't imagine a place where there is no sunshine at all. Not that it is an unfortunate place, it is a self-illuminated place. It is not dependent on sun or moon or stars or fire or electricity. So, one should be captivated by this information. He should desire to transfer himself to the eternal world and extricate himself from this false reflection of reality. Why are you attached to the reflection of the tree which you can see in water? Try to be attached to the tree only and get the real fruits. That's what Krishna is recommending. For one who is too much attached to this material world, it is very difficult to cut that attachment. But if he takes to Krishna consciousness, there is a chance of gradually becoming detached. One has to associate himself with devotees, those who are in Krishna consciousness. One should search out a society of dedicated Krishna consciousness and learn how to discharge devotional service. So that is the solution. By associating with devotees, we develop inspiration to transcend this material world and enter the spiritual world by following the process of Bhakti Yoga. So a living entity will not be satisfied unless he reaches that supreme abode, because it is the living entity's constitutional, original, real position to be related to Krishna and be with him. Okay. So that will be explained in the 7th shloka, which we will discuss in the next session. So we conclude this. So Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srimad Prabhupada ki jai.